Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
magnify
the Lord
with me.
His name
together. Come on and magnify the Lord with me.
Once again, that you tune in so that you can
unadulterated, uncompromising word of the Lord. Yes, this is the hour of power. This is the hour that you can hear, fellas, and see what God is doing in this day and this time, what God did in the word of God. For the word of God says he's the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. So here, we want you today to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the hour of power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Why don't you come? Why don't you go with us as we go before the Lord? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise thy name. We thank you, God, for the great, for the mighty things, God, that you have done. We thank you for the great, mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. We thank you this morning because you are faithful, because you are righteous, God. We thank you, God, because you are the high tower. God, you are our deliverer. God, you are one that we can call on. God, one that we can trust in. Father, we just thank you right now. Father, we thank you for the hour of power broadcasting audience that's listening, God, even now. God, touch them, God. God, if there's any need, God, that they need today, oh, Father, we ask you, God, to move on their behalf. God, Lord, if there's any that's not saved, say deliver and to make free. And just we thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the hour of power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Today we want to get to the Word of God. We want to go to the Word of God, for the Word of God gives us strength. It gives us encouragement. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. It gives us power that we can go forth and that we can believe God. So here we are this morning in the 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And we want to talk about a man that had leprosy. Leprosy is a debilitating type of disease. It's a skin disease. And therefore, anyone that have this disease, they need to be healed because it can cause your toes and your hands and your fingers and other parts of you to be affected. So therefore, we want you to know that God is a God. No matter what you see, what you have seen, or what somebody told you, that God, he is a God that's hand and not a God that is afar off. Let's go to the Word of God this morning. Let's begin at that first verse. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So here we see that Naaman, first of all, it tells us that he was captain of the host. It tells us that he was captain of the host of Syria. It tells us that he was a great man. We were describing a Naaman this morning, which we are. And he was a great man. The word of God tells us with his master. And it tells us that this Naaman, he was honorable. That's something that we need today in the that time that we live, that we need men and women of God that is honorable. And it tells us that Naaman had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor, mighty in valor, but something was wrong with him. It tells us that Naaman had a leper. He was had leprosy. So when we began to read in the Word of God, I want you to follow me this morning as we go through the Word of God, as we take a walk through the Word of God. And the Syrian had gone out by a company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little girl, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that in Samaria, that for he will recover him of his leprosy." Now, this is the maid that they have brought as captive from Israel. And here she was telling Naaman's wife. She was telling Naaman's wife that if he was over in Israel, that he could recover from the leprosy. Because she did it with her heart and desire. She said, "Would my lord that he were as the prophet, that the prophet would heal him." She was, it was a desire that he was, if he was there, she knew the power of God. She had seen the power of God. She had witnessed the power of God. She knew that God had a man that was able to recover Naaman of this dreadful disease. Do you know anybody that has a dreadful disease? Do you know anybody that is sick and the doctor has given a bad report? Do you know anybody that is given the death sentence? Do you know anybody that the doctor said that they had cancer and they were not going to be healed? Do you know anybody that had a brain tumor and the doctors have given up on them? Do you know anybody with leukemia and the doctor have given a bad report? Do you know anybody with arthritis and that they need to be healed? It, whatever it may be, somebody with a headache, with a backache. I'm telling you that this little girl, this maiden, this person that was Naaman's wife, maid, she knew that if her master was over in Israel, that he could recover, that he would recover. And here she said that, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." She said, "Samaria, that he would recover him of his leprosy." If he was only in Samaria, he's only over in the place that I'm familiar with. I know somebody that the prophet of the God, the man of God, will be able, the prophet of God, the man of God will be able to heal him of his leprosy. I know that, and I can imagine the desire of his wife, seeing her husband in that condition day after day after the day. I can imagine him having that disease from the time that it began, the time that he started. It didn't matter how great he was, you know. It didn't matter of him being a high-ranking person in the army. It did not matter him being having a position, having a that social position, that position of economic standing. It did not matter in a sense that he needed to be healed. He needed a healing from God. He needed a touch from God. He needed God to do something for him. So here we see, they really did not know who they had. When they took captive this little girl or this maiden, they did not know who they had with them. All they had, they brought her, and they used her in order to take care of Naaman's wife, to take care of whatever she needs, whether or not you're closely following, whatever that she can do for Naaman's wife, they brought her over for that purpose. But see, they did not know that this maiden was a maiden of faith, one that had experienced, one that knew that God is able to exceed and knew about the prophet that was in Samaria. And so therefore, when I want you to think about this, sometimes there are people that are in the midst of you. And you may look at that person as a person that with low standards. When I say low standards, that means, and what I'm saying is using a term, that there are people that are around you that you kind of count as kind of like, you know, this just a maid. You know, this is just a janitor. This is just a garbage collector. This is a person that they're poor, and they're just kind of like, you know, they're just among us. They don't have any really high standards, and they can be used to do that media type of work. But no, you know, you have people passing you by from time to time, or people that God allowed to be in the midst, and yet you don't see the worth of them. But, you know, there is a word that God has put in certain people's mouth that they can bring life unto that person that's with them. They can give them the word of life that's able to sustain them, able to deliver them, able to make them free. For the word of God say, who the Son has made free is free indeed. Somebody needs to be free. Somebody needs to know that God, that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. So they didn't really know who they had in the midst of them. But the woman of God, the woman of God, that maiden, she spoke to Naaman's wife. And that's when she let her know that if he was in Samaria, he will be recovered of his leprosy. And then when we look there at that fourth verse, it says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. I'm going to send a letter to the king. And he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Remember the maiden telling about the prophet that's in Israel, there was somebody over there that could bring healing. Well, you know, the king, I believe that he really did not understand, the man of the king did not understand that it wasn't the other king that was going to cause, it was Syria that was going to cause this healing to be made manifested, but he prepared to give all of these things because Naaman was this honorable man, and he thought highly of Naaman. So if there was any way for his Naaman, this man to be healed, he wanted him to be healed. So that's why he was rich. And he was, he was the king of Syria, and he had all of these precious things. He had who would be able, other than a king, other than somebody that's wealthy, who would be able to take 10 talents of silver, who would be able to give 6,000 pieces of gold. had 10,000 changes and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee," this is what the king had said. He said, "This is the letter. This is what the content of it was." He said, and the sentence began there at that sixth verse. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy." Now, okay, in the man's mind, he thought that he was going to be the one. "I send this letter to the king to this king that I know that he thought he was the one that was going to be, because he was great. He was the king. And no matter who you are, it doesn't matter if you don't have the power of God. You know, you can have 20 houses. You can have 20 houses on a hill. You can have 80 limousines. You can have 150 servants. If you don't have the power of God, it is just like you are, in a way, you are worthless in the means of having the power. You don't have the power, let's say, you don't have the power to bring about a healing. If the money does not matter, the thing that you have does not matter. So here, they thought that they'll send this letter. He thought that he would send this letter that they could, that he'll be able to heal his servant, Naaman. And in that seventh verse, it says, "And it came to pass when the king of Israel," even the king of Syria, was the one that had written the letter. And they wrote the letter to the king of Israel. But when the king began to read the letter, he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes off. And he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doeth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel with me." So he's thinking, the king of Israel, as he read the letter, he knew he didn't have any power. He knew that he couldn't, what are you talking about? How can I heal a man that has leper? He knew that leper was a dreadful disease and a debilitating type of disease. And what? You sending me this? Am I a man to kill and then bring him back alive? In other words, can I resurrect the dead? You know, can I bring the dead back? This man has like a death sentence upon him. Can I bring him back alive? So that's why he rent his clothes. And then he thought that, hey, he gave me something so difficult to do, and he know I can't do it. He's seeking a quarrel against me. And here the word of God said in the eighth verse, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You don't have to rent your clothes. You don't have to tear your clothes out. Send them to me.
And when he comes, he would know that there is a prophet in Israel. See, the king didn't know because he didn't know. He knew he was king. King of Israel knew that he was king. He knew that he had a lot of things. But he knew that, hey, I am not a healer. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to cause leprosy I don't know how to deliver this man of his leprosy. So therefore, that's why he was in an uproar. That's why he tore his clothes off. That's why he was upset, because he knew he didn't have the power. He knew that he could not do it. But when the real man of God showed up, the man that knew that he had the power to heal, a man that knew God was able to use him, the prophet of God knew that God would use him to bring a recovery and a healing to this man. He knew, he's telling the king, send him to me. Come on, send him to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. And this is what the young maiden was saying. You know, this is what she was saying. If he was in Israel and Samaria, that they knew, she knew that there was someone to heal. But they thought that it was the king. It wasn't a king. It was a man of God. It was a man of God who had the power. It's a man of God that knew God. You know, how can we know God? How can we walk in the righteousness of God if we don't really know him? Somebody say, well, I know there's Jesus. I know that there is a God. I know that he has all power in his hand. I heard that he did. But did you just hear? Or are you believing that he can? And this man of God, he knew, he believed God, that God would use him to recover Naaman of this disease. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So here we see, go with me now. Now we see Naaman has arrived. And Naaman had all the things that the king of Syria had sent with him. He had all those things that we named before. And when he came, he came up, not in a Mercedes-Benz, not in a Cadillac, but he came in his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. He's given instruction. See, some people don't like to follow instruction. Some people like to do it their own way. And as you begin to read in the word of God, you know, God didn't tell you some things that you see that you want to do. It's not the way that God say for you to do things. He had the answer. He had the key. But he didn't want to do it this way. Watch it. And Elijah sent a message to them saying, go and watch. See, number one, Elijah didn't even come out. You know, I know, I heard you are a great man. I heard that you're honorable, but I'm not coming out, because he knew that it didn't take him to come out. I'm going to give you instruction. I'm going to see how obedient that you going to be. And then if you obey, then you're going to receive your healing. So he didn't even bother to come out. Then in that 11th verse, but Naaman was wroth. He was upset. He was really upset because of the prophet of God, Elisha. did not come out and greet him and didn't say some words about his greatness or to be able to receive it, just like the president of the United States will come to the city of Jacksonville and expect for people, which they should, come out and to be able to give him honor. But it's just like the governor or the mayor would, as they know that the president is here, I'm going somewhere, I'm walking somewhere, and they would not come, and they would not greet the president. Now, that's disrespect. But and when we look at this man of God, it was a purpose why Elisha would not come out. Don't get me wrong, because God said to give honor to who honor is due. But God knew and let Elisha know that it was Naaman had a problem. You see how he flared up? You see how he got angry? You see how he was wroth? He said, here, Naaman said, he was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought, see, this is the I thing, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Come on. And strike his hand over the place and recover the number. He had it all played out in his mind like a movie. That he thought that the man of God, Elisha, how he was going to do to him. How he was going to strike his hand over the place and recover him of his leprosy. And he said, this is what he said. Listen, he said, this is what Naaman says. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in rage. Listen, he was wroth, and then he went into a rage. You know why? Because he didn't want to go wash in the river of Jordan like the man of God had told him to wash. He didn't want to do it because he thinking, oh, my God, wait a minute. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know how important I am? Don't you know I'm honorable? And don't you know that I have a high-ranking office? I'm a high-ranking office official. And I have social and economical status and standing. And you telling me to go and wash in this dirty river? He's saying, why not wash at Abana and Pharpar, the rivers in Damascus? They're better than the waters of Israel. This water is dirty. This water is not clean. May I wash in them and be clean? So that's when he went in rage. And his servant came near. His servant, listen. I mean, the Lord just showed me this. It was a servant that called Naaman's wife to know, number one, about the healer, the prophet of God that was in Israel. And now, after Naaman had got there, after the king of Syria had given all of these fine things to bring to the king of Israel, then he got there and he got his, after he heard instructions, and he don't want to follow. He don't want to do it because he's mad. He's upset. He's like enraged. Because, and that's what the word of God said. He was enraged. He went away enraged. Could you imagine somebody enraged? You could see somebody angry, right? But somebody that get plain outraged. I mean, it's almost incontrollable. It's uncontrollable because of the fact that they're so angry. They're so mad. So here, his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says to thee, wash and be clean. Then when he down, then we came back to himself. Sometimes we got to come back to ourselves. See, Naaman was full of pride. He had some issues. You see, I already said how angry and wroth he was, and how it even turned to rage. But his servant had to speak unto him. And when his servant spoke unto him, he was able to calm down and to be able to go and to do according to what had spoke unto him to do by the prophet. So here we see that he was sent there to do. He was said to go and to wash. He told to say go and wash. That's just simple. But his problem, he didn't want to wash in the rivers that they told him. He didn't want to go wash where he was instructed in the rivers. He was supposed to go wash. That was not what he wanted to do. That's not what he wanted to see. After all, he got all frustrated because the man of God didn't come out to see him. And then he going to tell him to go wash. Can you understand how this man was so full of pride that he wasn't really, yes, it was a big deal for him to have the skin disease and leprosy that could have killed him, but he was so full of pride that needed to be dealt with. He needed to be humble. He needed to be humble. And sometimes we don't get things in our life because we are not humble, because we're not grateful, because we're not submissive, because we're not loving, because we're not kind, because of the fact that we think that we are somebody that we are not. And this is what his problem was. And here in the 14th verse it says, then when he bowed and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. All he had to do was obey. All he had to do is to do what the prophet of God had instructed him to do. God has a blessing with your name on it. But you need to believe God. You need to be obedient to God. You need to do what God has instructed you to do. God used the maiden. God used the king of Syria. God used the king of Israel. God used Elisha. God used his Naaman's servant in order to get the word over to this man. It was like a sequence of things that was happening to him. But all he needed to do is to obey. All he had to do is to humble himself. Do you think Elijah didn't know that that river Jordan was the way it was? That it wasn't the cleanest river? It wasn't clean like the rivers of Abana and the rivers of Pharah that was in Damascus? Do you think he was ignorant and didn't know that? No, he knew exactly what he was doing because he knew that this man was full of pride. The Bible said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive the sin. I will heal the land. Somebody needs a healing. Somebody needs deliverance. Somebody needs God to move on their behalf. Somebody needs to be obedient unto God. The word of God says, obedience is better than a sacrifice. So here, when he decided he was going to obey, when he decided that I'm going to get in the water, Now, the prophet didn't tell him to go and dip one time. He didn't tell him to dip three times. He didn't tell him to dip five times. He didn't tell him to dip six and a half times. But he told him to dip seven times in the river of Jordan. And when he dipped seven times in that river, he was going to wash and be clean. He was, as he dipped, he did it seven times in Jordan, according to the same of a man of God and his flesh. All he had to do was simple. Sometimes we want to go all the way around the mountain. Because we got to do it our way. This is the way I want to do it. And I'm not going to do it your way. You make me angry. You make me upset. Because I don't want to do it that way. And here is the man of God. Can you not hear what God is saying this morning? Humble yourself. God is telling Nehemiah, no, yeah, I don't care how many stars you have on you. I don't care what great official you may be. I don't care what office you sit in. You may sit in the office of a mayor, a governor. You may sit in the office of in the place of a CEO. You may have a great job in the marketplace, whatever it may be. You may be a great physician, but you know what? There's no position that is greater than the great physician. And that is Jesus Christ. And all God wants us to stand on his word and to believe his word. And when we have stood on his word and we have done all that God will have us to do, then it's up to God. It's not up to you. It's not up to us. When we have been obedient to the word of God, the word of God said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it is not up to us when we stand on the word and believe God's word for what he said it to be done. Naaman had to believe God. And it showed that he, in the end, he believed God because he went and he washed in the river of Jordan, and he did it the seventh time, and his flesh became whole. Please go with me today as we go before the throne of grace. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you have a disease like Naaman had. I don't know, are you going through some turmoil in your mind? I don't know whether or not you have a bipolar disease, a schizophrenic disease, disorder. I don't know, is it that? Backache. I don't know, is it arthritis in the hand, or arthritis in your foot or your feet? I don't know. I don't know if it's that kidney or that gallbladder or whatever it may be. But I do know that God, he is God. I do know that he is God all by himself. So we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for whatever it is, whether it's your rent, your mortgage, whatever it is, we're going to believe God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, God. We magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done. All, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we thank you because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we send a word of healing, Lord. God, even now, God, all over. Father God, our radio audience, God, Kentucky, Alabama, Texas, California, God, in the name of Washington, D.C., God, we send the word of healing, God, even now. Father God, everywhere, every city, every state, those that are hearing, those that are standing in faith, God, those that have loved ones, Father God, that need to be healed, Father, I stand upon your word. God, those that need deliverance today, God, those that need healing today, God, Father, I stand against the word, Lord God, because your word says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of thy word will fail. So, Lord, I pray healing. I send the word of healing right now Gotten those that have infirmity in their bodies, Lord God. I pray, Father God, those that have the bone disease, and Father, I pray healing, God, even right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I decree and declare, Father God, from your word, God, that they shall be healed according to your word. Lord, I pray, God, even now, God, that those that are listening are broadcast. And our radio audience, those that are not saved, those that do not know you as the Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you will forgive them for their sin. God, you said we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. So, Lord God, in agreement with your word, God, even as they have heard the word this morning, God, even as they have heard, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, this outreach, God, for their soul, I pray, God, that they will believe and that they will receive, and God, that they will be saved. And God, I pray, God, that you'll cast every sin, and I know that you will, Lord, into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more, that they will be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. And Father, we just thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God loves you. To God be the glory for the great, for the mighty things that he has done. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast of Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us again on this coming Friday as the Lord again, show you that every day is an hour of power. Every minute, he has that power to heal and to deliver. Yes, this is the hour of broadcast. So whatever hour that you need, whatever time that you need healing and deliverance, God is there to do it for you. May God bless you. May he keep you, is my prayer.